or yeah, like we said, we continue Malachim Be'ezras Hashem. So Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. So Lamaisa, we did end off last time. We ended off Malachim Aleph by saying how bad Ahaziah ben Achav was. He took the reign after Achav died. He ruled over Yisrael for 2 years. He did what was evil in the eyes of Hashem, and he simply continued with vigor in the very not beautiful path of his father and mother laid down. So now, Moav rebelled against Yisrael after Achav died. Moav had been under Achav's rule. And now they cast off the yoke. So the context is very clear, right? We described how bad he was. We're going to continue now with punishments that came on him, and very clearly in this context is that the dominion of the Asaras HaShvatim started falling apart at that point. The Rambam says that this reflects the fact that there was a drop. As bad as Achav was, there was still a drop. Now, why? Because Achav, we all remember how he kept on seeing one of his big features was being wishy-washy, right? He had Izebel, and she was pulling him one direction, but at the end of the play, end of the day, his heart was always kind of peering back in the other direction, and he was basically, the poor guy was a yo-yo, right? Ahaziah wasn't. Ahaziah was already well entrenched on this derech, which is, by the way, this is a phenomenon. This is not just what happened here. This is a phenomenon of... See, often when parents choose a different direction, they are still in an element of chiddush, not 100% comfortable with it, not going all the way, etc. And then the next generation proceeds naturally. And that's why you find the ironic phenomenon of, right, parents who didn't give their children any Jewish upbringing whatsoever, right, and then never a word about any sort of Jewish values and made a point of even avoiding it, right, and all of a sudden the child comes home with a non-Jewish girl and the parents are completely shocked. What's with all of our chinuch, right? Right, so we know the answer is that's with all of your chinuch, right, but it's a common phenomenon. It's a common phenomenon that the choices of the first generation really settle in and become natural in the second generation. It's already not rebellion, it's already a natural way of life.
The other way around too.
Yeah. What's that?
The other way around too.
Oh.
About Shura, you know.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It settles in more naturally in the next generation. That's right. So now, in that direction, though, it has a mila and a chisaron. There's the mila to becoming more natural, and there's the chisaron to becoming more natural, right? Yeah. So, on the one hand, you might say, well, then, is he worse than Achav? On the contrary, he's kind of born into this reality, right? He's born into this reality. Is he worse than Achav? But what we're seeing here is that Lemaisa, this constituted another drop in where Klal Yisrael was with Hashem. They were already another kilometer away. And there's a reality that is going to reflect in the state of Klal Yisrael.
Then Achav had some sense of conscience that was pulling him to Ruchnius. It wasn't just by Achav that he was mitzvah, like he was just, he really was torn. We criticize him for that. He was just wicked. Wicked, no conscience, not pulling him in the other direction. He's not complicated or anything like that. That was complicated.
Oh, so that's true. That's true, objectively speaking. That's true also. That's a straightforward understanding of the question expressed here. The question that I'm just raising is that that's on the one hand. On the other hand, Achav's decisions were significant steps. Now this person is basically just considered, to an extent, we won't use the word connection ishva, but the concept of connection, he was made this way. he's following you. He didn't make any decisions, presumably. But nevertheless, so, but no, the Mepharshim do say it as you said it. Yes, this was a drop down, and I'm just raising a certain question mark here. I don't know. But be that as it may, meaning if it's like you're saying that this was a very distinct step away, then this is very straightforward. He was hit. He was punished, right? But my point is that even if not, Lamaisid is the reality. Chayisol drifted another step away, and therefore Hashem also drifted another step away. Hashem is it's a reality. And therefore, yeah, your dominion is now being compromised that much more. But no, we are going to see that nevertheless, it is like you're saying, he is considered as consciously taking these steps further. Vayipoil Achazia ba'ad hasvacha. Achazia fell through a lattice, meaning they had in his palace there was a second floor, kind of like a balcony, and there was a lattice, like a crisscross wooden covering over the floor downstairs, where you weren't supposed to step. You weren't supposed to step there.
You're not, as part of the flooring of the balcony?
Not really. No, the balcony was off to the side. Right? It's kind of like this. Right, but not really something you could step on. Meaning, there was a balcony area around. There was the palace downstairs, some sort of, I don't know, big ballroom, whatever it is. This balcony was over it, kind of off to the sides, and the floor over the, you could see down into the hall, and it was covered by this wooden netting. What
is there really between the balcony and the lattice?
Oh, so I don't know. Apparently, security wasn't what it should have been, and he fell through.
Should have marked it.
What's that?
Should have
wasn't from.
Right.
Okay. So.
He heard it was a mitzvah.
He fell through. What
was that? He heard it was a mitzvah.
Yeah, apparently. Right. So he fell through. Valiyosa Hashem b'Shoimlin in his upstairs balcony in Shoimlin. Vayochal, he was very seriously injured, dangerously injured. Vayishlach malochim vayayim aleihem. He sent messengers and he said, Lechu dirshu beva'al zvuv. Elohei Ekron. And here we're bringing out where there was conscious wickedness. He said, go and inquire by Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekron. Wait a minute, why the god of Ekron? What's with good old Baal? What's with good old Baal? So the Mepharshim say that the Malbim says that Baal didn't answer. Right? He didn't get the response he wanted from Baal. So the question is, what do you do then? So at least here the expectation would be, well, if Baal doesn't answer, at least go to Hashem.
What do you mean they didn't answer?
What's that?
That's not what it means they didn't answer.
I don't know what the pshat is, because the Nevi'im...
Big enough.
Exactly. I don't know what the pshat is. I don't know what the pshat is. But he says, he didn't get his, the truth of the Malbim Magic Knage. He says that Baal Zvuv Elokei Ekron was specifically the god of death. Baal Zvuv, what does Zvuv mean? Zvuv means a fly. So this is a god of death. The priests, that was their thing. They answered, their specialty was predicting life and death. People would die on that. So here, we're noting, and here's where we are highlighting his chosen rishis. Because make no mistake about it, even in the Ten Shvatim, and even in the generation after Achav, there wasn't a situation where people weren't aware of Hashem. Right, we already discussed that even in Achav's palace, the law of the land was tight, even under Izebel's roof, right? And what's the situation where people didn't know about Hashem, right? And here, he doesn't get his answer from Baal, and he's going off to inquire to Zvuv Elohei Ekron. Im Yechem Mechal Yisrael. He wants to know, will I recover from this injury? Omalach Hashem diber el Eliyahu HaTishbi. So Malach of Hashem spoke to Eliyahu HaTishbi and told him, Kum alei likras malachei melech shemrin. Go. So they were sent off to Ekron. It's a distance.
Is that?
I don't know.
Down south.
What's it?
Yeah,
down south.
The Christian cities.
Ah, okay. And they're told to go there, but shortly after they set out, they are intercepted. Hashem tells them, go intercept the messengers of the king of Shemayim, v'daber aleihem, and tell them, Hamibli ein Elohim Yisrael, is there no God in Israel such that atem holchim lidrosh beval zvul velehei ekron, and therefore you're going to inquire to Baal Zvul, the God of Ekron? V'lochein koyomar Hashem. So the truth is that his fall and his injury was a warning sign to him. This was meant to be something that he could also understand. Achav kind of did relate to his warning signs right? We saw that. Now Achazi is going that step further. He still should have the concept, right? He also grew up in the shadow of the story of Elio at Har HaKarmel, etc., right? So he's deteriorating. At the same time that he loses Mayav, he also falls through with this injury. Yes, whatever his chinuch was, this was something that he would have been expected to pick up on, and it was a conscious decision not to go in that direction. Not to go in the direction of acknowledging the sign and responding accordingly. And therefore, this sealed his fate.
Would this have been an appropriate question to even ask of Hashem, or am I going to die, am I going to live? What should I do is a better question.
It's true. If, to the extent that he would have gotten the signal, he would have realized that this is a call to turn to Hashem, and Achanami, because the expectation would have been, you're going to have to come and ask Hashem, what should I do? And the truth is, that's probably part of the reason why Zvuv Baal Zvuv Elohei Ekron was a better idea. You send a tip, right? And you insert your question, you get your answer, right?
Especially if Hashem asks him to pray on his behalf. Like, well, there's no tolerance in any situation. He's going to be going to die or live anyway. It's just the point of knowing whether you're going to die or live.
You'd like to know that. But that's all.
You think dive into me the Baal Zvul or something.
Doesn't mention anything about that.
Maybe ask him more than...
Unless, it could be that it's just not elaborated. I mean, it's possible that the message included whatever the protocol was.
If you believe the answer, you're that great, isn't it?
What's that?
If you believe the answer. I mean, like, the fact that he's going to ask just that, coming up and just go that question, only that question, okay, seems to indicate that he doesn't believe in any kind of filler or any chance of changing the mind of the gods or anything like that. You know, what's fixed is fixed.
And he's just, that's it.
Right? And which is bad in itself. Okay? And, knowing what the answer is, you'll act differently. You know, are you going to start getting the sun ready or not getting the sun ready?
Right. Technical enough to mean this.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also note that itself, like you said, it shows that he didn't believe that there is anything to be done. That itself was l'chayra part of the decision. Meaning, when I decide, do I believe that I have a chance or not? It's like the way my Rebbe Mishael Yachelson put it. He said that the mind is intellect, right? The heart is the emotions, right? You're considering something with your mind, it's intellect, and he said, but you know the way it works. The mind sends a message to the heart. When there's a question that has to be analyzed intellectually, the mind sends a message to the heart and says, what should the decision be? And the heart says, well, you're the mind, just analyze it intellectually and reach an intellectually honest answer. So the mind sends a message back and says, yeah, but what should the intellectually honest answer be? So this is what's going on here, right? Is he going to believe that, yes, there's a point in making the effort in maybe the more arduous route of asking what Hashem wants and then exposing himself to whatever the answer is going to be? It's not going to be comfortable. Or, I don't believe it. I don't. I really don't. I don't believe it. And then you go in the other direction. Right? So... So Lachen Koyama Hashem. So Hashem said, because of this, meaning this is what sealed your fate. Your fate was suspended when you fell. But now you sent to Elohe Ekron, Hamita Shaalisosham, the bed that you're on now, your sick bed, Loitere Mimeno, you're not gonna descend from it. Kimais Tamus, because you're going to die. Vayelech Elio. And he walked off. Now understand that this is part of a slap in the face. This is part of Eliyahu's disregard for the Melech, because a Navi who has a message for the king comes to the king, right? Comes to the king and presents it to the king. Eliyahu casually bumps into his messengers, right? throws out the message, turns around and walks away. So Vayeshuva Malachim Eilov, so the messengers came back. Vayeimer Aleihem, he said to them, Mazeh Shavtem, how'd you get back so far? You left half an hour ago. Why are you back already? Right? Now, the truth is, the Malbim points out that it's a good question because, okay, they heard from Eliyahu, but they were sent on a message, right? So, fine, Eliyahu, somebody said, but go to his Balzvul. So the Malbim says that Eliyahu included in his nevuah an admonition to them. How did he word it? How did he word it? He didn't say. Oh, that's right. He didn't just say you sent. He said you're going to seek out Vuvalehe Ekoin. So here we're again seeing how they took the admonition, right? They were shamefaced. They turned around and went back, even though they had been sent by the king. Because once Eliyahu came as the Navi of Hashem and hit them in the face, they turned around shamefaced. Just bringing out again that the reality in that Seras HaShoftim was not the stark, godless reality that we might picture. It's the whole time there are these uncomfortable reminders stuck in their face that don't enable them to completely get away from it. And in fact, probably many people never really did go completely away from it. So he says, why did you come back? So they said to him, Ish Allah likrosenu. A man came toward us. Vayomer eleinu, and he said to us, Lichu shuvu el ha-melech asher sholach eschem. Go back to the king who sent you. V'dibartem elav, and tell him, Koy omar Hashem. Hamibli en olehim b'Yisrael. Are there no gods in Israel? Ata shaleach lidrosh b'valzvu v'lehe ekoin. That you're sending to inquire by Baal Zvuv, the god of Ekoin. Lochein hamita sha'olisa shon leitered mimeno kimaistolos. They give over the message. Therefore, the bed that you're on, you're not going to come off. You're going to die. Now, they apparently didn't recognize him. Because even though he had at some point made big public appearances, but his derech was, the Mepharshim say, to also disappear for years at a time. He was a man of hespedidus. He was a man of solitude. And he spent his days out in the wilderness. And he make these appearances and he disappear again. These people didn't recognize him. But they're giving over the message. Vayedaber aleihem. So the king said, Ma mishpat ha'ish asher ola likraska. What is the nature of this person? Meaning, he's including in his question, what is going on here? This is weird. Meaning, Melech and Avi, the house of Achav used to being blasted by Nevi'im. Right? That wasn't such a big kiddush, right? Happened. It was a part of the family history. But this was unusual that he just simply didn't, like, casually threw a message off to the messengers and then didn't bother to come to the king. So the king saw this as a slight. So this is what he's trying to figure out. Who is this person? Is he for real? If he is for real, even as a real Navi, can have tainus on him. But again, Taina, why didn't you come and deliver the message respectfully?
Presumably, Ahaz knows he's real, because otherwise, how would he have known what the messengers were going to do?
True, I hear. Hey, the one who told you these things. So he said he had a very distinct look. Ish Baal Seir, there's a man of a lot of hair. Veizer Oyo, Azur Bimasna. And he had a belt of leather around his hips. So he had the description of a parush, of a person who's...
Is a leather belt distinctive?
So apparently it was distinctive, really. He was known by his leather belt. And there is a medrash that says, you know what this leather belt was? It was the hide of the isle of the Akedas Yitzchak. And he wore that as his belt. But whatever it is, be that as
it all those years.
What's that?
Where was it all those years?
I don't know. Was it past? Was it perhaps in possession of the Nevi'im since that time and passed from person to person? I don't know.
Ever seen a Korban Olam?
What's that?
The ayal was into korban ole.
The hides are for the bayal. Well, the hides go to the kohen. The other one was the kohen. The hides go to the kohen. Remember that Eliyahu was Pinchas, so it wasn't such a long time for the heirloom to have kept up. But be that as it may, meaning that certainly adds a lot of light here, but be that as it may, he was distinguished by that leather belt of his. Vayemar, so the king said, oh boy, yep. Eliyahu atishbihu. It's Eliyahu atishbi. And therefore, yes, it all made sense. It made sense the way he delivered the message. Everything makes sense, right? So, Vayishlach Elov Sar Chamishim Vachamishot. So, okay, he wants to arrest Eliyahu. So he sent to him an officer of a unit of 50 men with his 50. Vayahal Elov, and he came up to him. V'hine Yoshev Aroi Shahar. He was sitting at the top of the mountain. Vayidaber Elov. So the captain said to him, Isha Elohim, man of God, Hamelech Giber, the king has spoken. Reida, come down. In other words, you're under arrest. So Vaya'ane Eliyahu, Vaidaber El Sar Chamishim. So Eliyahu answered, he said to this officer of 50, he said, Vim Isha Elohim Ani, you are acknowledging me as an Isha Elohim. And that's how you're addressing me? If I am an Isha Elohim, meaning, if you are recognizing me as an Isha Elohim, then, Teired Esh Min HaShamayim, may a fire come down from Shamayim, V'toychal Oizcho V'et Chamishecho, and eat you and your 50. V'Teired Esh Min HaShamayim, and a fire came down from Shamayim, V'toychal Oizcho V'et Chamishecho, and consumed him and his 50. Meaning, there isn't a chiyuv misas bezdin for speaking disrespectfully in this way. It's certainly a crime. But Eliyahu was the representative and the preserver of whatever Kvod Shemayim was going to be left in the territory of the Atzeres HaShvatim. Avdesser says that he did this al pi Ruach HaKodesh. Whatever the case is, let's just understand, yes, Ruach HaKodesh, not Ruach HaKodesh. Let's understand what he was doing here. The honor of Hashem was being completely trampled in the land of the 10 tribes, and therefore Eliyahu saw himself in position as the sole defender, one of the sole defenders of Kvod Shamayim. Kvod Shamayim was going to be upheld. And this was going to be another incident where the people would hear and shake that Yesh Elohim Yisrael, right? When someone tried to start up with the Yesh Elohim, the whole unit of 50 men were consumed by fire. And therefore he's stressing that. He's saying, have we deteriorated to this extent? You are acknowledging me as an Isha Elohim, and you're talking to me that way, and this is what has to happen. Vayoshav, Vayishlach Elav Sar Chamishim Achaz. So, Achaziel sent another officer of 50. Vachamishav, along with his 50s. Vayaan, Vayidabe Elav. And he raised his voice and he spoke to him and said, Isha Elohim, Koy Omer HaMelech, Meheir HaReida, come down immediately. So I don't know, did he not chop what happened to the first person?
I didn't even find out. I mean, no one came back.
No one came back.
A month later.
So I suppose. I didn't think of that, but I guess, you know, that makes sense. It also makes sense why the guy still had the nerve to approach it this way, right? I was wondering about that. What exactly is the pshat here? But that makes sense.
Go? Maybe they were like Sar Chamishim and there was soldiers under them. Like Esau, when he came with 400 men, they were really 400 generals. Then with them was like another thousands of men.
Why would we? More people survive.
Again, someone has to survive and go back to tell them that what happened. You know?
No, it's either of it. It makes more sense if nobody did.
Because that's the problem.
Oh, so the next one, we may presume, you know what, I don't know.
How do you know? I don't know.
Maybe when he turns up, he sees 102 dead people. Right?
Yeah, the next one definitely knows.
It could also be that just because they died doesn't mean that nobody saw the corpses. I think they've got like dead corpses. Like, yeah,
right, also completely charred, right?
Yeah.
So Vayan Eliyahu, so a repeat, a repeat, right? Vayan Eliyahu vayidaber aleihem. So Eliyahu spoke up and he said to them, Misha lekim ani, if I am indeed an Isha lekim, keirat esh min hashamayim, may a fire come down from Shamayim, v'toichal oyzcho v'eschamishech, I'm going to consume you and your 50s. V'teirat esh lekim min hashamayim, and yes, the fire of Elikim came down from Shamayim, v'toichal oyzcho v'eschamishech, and it consumed him in his 50s. Okay. Achaziah doesn't know Chachmas, he wants Eliyahu.
The Lashonos are a little different in both of these cases. Eish Elokim before, what didn't say Eish Elokim?
Oh, okay, good. So the Malbim does make an Asik out of that.
And he kind of explains it. The general also is different.
Oh, so the Lashon of the general is just as brazen, right? They might not be exactly the same words, but it's just as brazen, right? But so the Malbim says, and I wasn't sure what to make of this, but once you're raising the point, the Malbim says that he kept a bit further away. It says that the first one came up to Eliyahu with his people, right? They all came toward Eliyahu and they're ready to take him down. So he consigns them to the fire. And so this one, it doesn't say that he came up. Right? He kept a distance. Malbim said he was trying to keep safe. He kept the distance and he, you know, issued the order via megaphone or something like that, right? Now, and therefore, Malbim says that Teyed Eish Elikim, meaning this was a much more, a greater fire came down and spread over the whole area. So I just find it a little difficult. The reason I didn't quite understand that is like, what's the Hava mean? Meaning, Eliyahu can bring an age down in the Shemayim if you're within 3 feet of him, but if you keep 50 feet away, then like, what was the? I don't understand. I don't know what the pshat is. But you're noting the different lashonis, and Taka, that's what the Malbim makes out of it. So, Vayoshov Vayishlach Sar Chamishim Shlishim. He sent a third 50. Men with their officer, the Chamisha. Vaya'al, Vayavoy Sar HaChamisha. Now, here you have to note the differences in the approach. Vaya'al, Vayavoy Sar HaChamisha Mashlisha. And the officer of the 50 came up and approached Eliyahu, meaning he came by himself. He told his unit, wait on the bottom, and he went up by himself to Eliyahu. This is already a humble approach, right? He's not coming at the head of his unit. He's coming up by himself, right? Vayichra al birkav, and he got down on his knees. Beneged Eliyahu, opposite Eliyahu. Vayischanen elav, and he begged him. Vayidaber elav, and he said, Isha Elokim. Here it's a very different approach, right? Tikarno nafshi, benefesh avodecha elech hamishim beinecha. Please. Hold my life dear and the life of these other 50 of your servants. This is already how the third officer is approaching. And he says, Hine yoda eish min ha-shamayim. A fire came down from Shamayim. Va'toichal eshnei soya ha-chamishim ha-rishonim et chamishayim. And it consumed the previous two units of 50. Va'to tikal nafshi beinecha. But please, hold my life dear in your eyes. Okay, so the message was conveyed. Right? The message has gotten across. And now the question is...
He didn't actually tell him why he's here.
What's that?
He never said why he's here.
Oh, so the Malbim says that he says twice, hold my life dear in your eyes. So he says it twice. What's that?
So he's not killed by either of them.
Very good. He says, first, don't burn me. Don't burn me. That's number one. Hold my... And number two, don't make me go back to the king. Right? They say, you know, please let me arrest you. Right? I'm begging for my life. Please let me arrest you.
It's a submission.
What's that?
It's a submission.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Vayidaber Malach Hashem El Eliyahu. So, Malach Hashem said to Eliyahu, Reid Oisoy. You can go down with him. Al tira mipanav. Don't be afraid. Vayokom vayered Yisrael HaMelech. So Yitaka went down to the king. Meaning, he would have been afraid. As we've seen, he had to be told, don't worry, I have nothing to be scared of. Abdesla makes a big deal about this. He says, he just zapped 150 and then another 50. Why is he afraid? But this is really, what's that?
Because, I actually think the same thing with Isabel as well. Like, why is he afraid of Isabel? Okay, I guess he understands this. He knows some people, he's not going to put them to death.
He knows that?
That some people are not in his, under his jurisdiction to put to death. You know, the king is the king, the queen is the queen, you know.
Oh, okay. I would say even more than you're saying. Eliyahu is not just operating with his own powers. Right? He doesn't have his own set of powers in his pouch that, you know, he pulls out a zapping, you know, and maybe he's using them up. Eliyahu is, the whole time here, he's operating on the basis of his connection with Hashem at this moment, right? He senses that right now Hashem is giving him the powers and empowering him to do what he's about to do, right? But this is, at the moment, drawing the kayach from Hashem now. So Abdesla says, he lived with the keen awareness, he doesn't have kreiches of his, who said that Hashem is going to do it? Now he's going to go to the king. He doesn't have, without the word of Hashem, he has no basis to come to the king, you know, assuming he'll be safe. If Hashem tells him, this is what I want from you, so fine. Otherwise, he's afraid. That's right, he just burns, by his word, 2 units of 50 people, and he's afraid to go to the king.
Who said
Just assume that there's just different levels of nevuah. It's also quite possible, just if we want, this is an off-the-cuff answer, but it makes sense now that think about it, that nevuah generally came in a state of focus and meditation. Right here, he's in the middle of a whole interaction. And the void that he is going to get at this time, it's coming mikoyach, the meditation that he's doing while he's busy interacting with this person. It's going to be, probably it'll be a little weaker than a classic Nevoa would be, right?
It was a mouth before also. In other words, he was told to go to the deceptive.
Right. So I don't know if we could or need to necessarily give an explanation for each instance, because, yes, Nevoa is still in different forms. So, he came to the king, and he had exactly the same thing to say to the king. No different message, right? And he said to the king, Koy Omar Hashem. Yes, sorry. The report was correct, right? This is what Hashem said. Because you sent messengers to inquire by Balzvul, the god of Ekron, Hamiblin Elohim Yisrael, Lidrosh Bidvar. Is there no God in Israel to inquire of him? Therefore, the bed that you are on, you're not going to come down. He might stumble because you're going to die. Yes, he died as per the word of Hashem through Eliyahu. And Yehoram, his brother, Achav's other son, took the throne in his stead. Bishnashtayim Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. The second year of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat. I have two kings with the same name. It gets confusing a little later as we move on. Two kings, same name, right? Kilehayolay ben, because Achaziah had no son, and therefore his brother Achav's other son became the king instead of him. Whatever else he managed to do in his 2 short years, we can find in the annals of Malchut Yisrael. Okay, stop here. Next week is